I want to thank everybody for coming today. I hope you've come just thinking about Jesus. I have, ever since I've been pastor, I've been trying really hard to not, you know how it is when you come to church and it's time to paint on the smiley face and do all that. But God is not impressed with that kind of stuff. He wants us to be real, real people. It's the truth that sets us free, so there's no point in putting on a front when you come to church. This is family. We gather together. Jesus is in our midst, and he begins to help us, lift us up with everything you're facing. And another word that I had, just a brief scripture, is that his mercies are new every morning during worship. And so you don't have to keep feeling condemned and you're carrying it and trying to fix it. If his mercies are new every morning, you can obtain those and have a fresh relationship with God by simply confessing what's got you down. Maybe you've messed up. Confess it before God and let his mercies be new to you today. And I think sometimes we continue to punish ourselves even when God is not punishing us. So that's for somebody out here today. And I didn't want to be slack in not giving that. One good advantage I have is I have the pulpit, so I can always, if I get a word from God during worship, I can give it up here. But sometimes at a nap time, it's good to give it. So I'm going to encourage you, if you get something from God, a scripture, whatever, just walk over to chat. Don't be afraid of this mic and give it, because it is supposed to be given to the rest of the body. And we record these, and they go out over our website. So somebody somewhere in the world may need that word that God give you today. All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 today. We're going to start with a scripture in Proverbs. And this checked me because this is a never-ending battle sometimes for us and for me. It has to do with the words of our mouth. And while you're turning there, I am going to continue. This is a message that I put together before Christmas, and I knew it was a long one. I knew I would never get through it completely, but I also knew that it would be the type of message to interject at intermittent times till I'm completely done with it, because it's a type of message that deals with our confession, and it's important. And it says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Now I'm going to repeat the first part of that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that sounds like a pretty big responsibility, doesn't it? By what you say can bring life or death to you. But I want to tell you something else, because it can also bring life or death to people around you. What happened to Adam and Eve when the enemy gave them lies? What did it do? It plunged all of humanity into death. So what somebody says to you, filter out by the word and don't take it in your heart, or it can poison you, it can bring you death if it's not of God. If it is of God, receive it and receive life. So we're going to move on with some confessions today. And I think it's very important to have biblical Bible confessions out of our mouth. So I'm going to lead you through some more of these, and we're going to talk about them and how scriptural they are. Because what's going to happen today is you confess these things out of your mouth, you're going to release power that will activate in your own life and to those who hear around you. And so I want you to work with me on this and be obedient, to think about what I'm preaching. Try not to let your mind wander. It's very important, because God's word brings life. If life and death are in the tongue, what do God's words bring? They bring total life. So say this together with me. This is the first thing I want you to say. This is what I want you to say. I am a laborer together with God. Say that with me. I am a laborer together with God. When you were born again, he enlisted you, he hired you for a job on this planet. And this job, the only way you can get fired is if you say, "I quit." Now think about that. You can be a good employee or a bad one, but he's not going to fire you unless you yourself, your will says, "God, I don't want to do this anymore." Now he may chastise you as a believer, But when you got born again, you became part of his workforce, part of his army. And it's important to be a good soldier. It's important to be a good employee. And he not only gives you the tools to work with, he gives you the power, and he gives you all kinds of neat vacations along the way and rest if you will really obtain it and grab a hold of it. The scripture that I'm referring to here in this confession is 1 Corinthians 3:9. You don't have to turn there. But it says, for we are God's fellow workers. We are. You ever thought of it like that? We are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building, or husbandry is what that means. In other words, you think of a field and God's planting his seed in you to bring a harvest. You are agreeing with him and you're a fellow worker with him. He wants you to join in the most awesome job in the world, and that's the saving of lives, the saving of souls. You understand this. There's only one reason. I've said this for many years. Only one reason you're left on this planet after you get born again. Because think about this. We, in the future, we're going to get a new body that won't ever die in the resurrection. And we're going to be about eternity where it says we rest from our labors. And every cry of your heart, every desire is going to be heaven. Things that you can't even imagine. But right now you have one job. The only reason he keeps you here is to make sure there are other people out there that come into the kingdom too. To spread the gospel. To get people saved. I mean, what would be any other reason we're here? Didn't he say, and this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all nations, and then the end will come? He's waiting on us to finish our job. Why would he keep us in a fallen, dying world just for kicks? Just for fun? No, God's not like that. We should love people out here enough to want them to partake in eternal life. And if we don't, we need to get on our knees and say, God, help me. Why do I have a burden for the lost? Now, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to begin a series. We'll start once a month with Doug, and he's going to talk to us about soul winning and evangelism. I'm looking forward to that. That's in my heart. It's just a first place in my heart as far as work goes for the Lord, and I'm looking forward to that, Doug. But we need all of us. This isn't just for somebody else. You go to work every day, you have family, you're around people. The person in front of you in Walmart may not be here the next day. There's nothing worse for me to know somebody and to not know they're struggling and then find out that they've killed themselves. Now, that's happened to me in at least two people in the last year and a year and a half, and it's hard. But both of those people, I said, I'm available if you need help. I'm available. Please get a hold of me. And they didn't. So we are fellow workers with God, and you need to realize that you can never be let go on that job if you're willing to share the gospel. And with that, confess this with me. I am the light of the world. Say it. I am the light of the world. How many of you sometimes don't feel like the light of the world? You don't even feel like a light. It doesn't matter, because the word says if you're born again, you still are the light of the world. Jesus didn't go anywhere. He's still in here. Now, you might have covered him up. It says don't cover him up. He says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, you can take something and put over your light so people can't see it. You can hide it, but it's still there. It's still there. And when you're traveling on a plane, you understand that when you go. I took off a couple weeks ago on a plane and went into the big cloud bank and fog, and you're sitting back there praying for the instrument panels and all that, because that's all he can go by. He can't really go by what he sees. But once you get above those clouds, you find out the sun is still shining. It is still just as bright as can be. It hasn't gone anywhere. And that's the same with you. He's still here. And he doesn't want you to hide that light in you. And so it's by faith you should just ask the Lord to let that light shine out of you so you don't mess it up. He knows what he's doing in you. Now say this with me, and you may feel like you're lying, but even confessing what you're supposed to be doing will get you on the path. Say this: I am exercising my authority over the enemy. Say it. I am exercising my authority over the enemy. Who is our enemy? Is it our next door neighbor? Is it that person even in church that annoys us? No, it's not a person. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Our real enemy is Satan. Amen. And so when you were born again, Jesus went into your body, soul, and spirit, and he has the devil under his feet. He defeated him at Calvary, and because he lives in you, you do have that power and authority over the enemy. The Bible says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy." That's quite a bit, isn't it? "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." I remember an elder in our church a number of years ago, and he came to me and he said, "Kevin, I'm just afraid," because I was talking to him about binding demons in people in Jesus' name and commanding them to go. And he goes, "I'm afraid to do that. You know how strong the devil is," he said. "I just would be afraid to do that. I'm afraid he'd come back." And I thought, well, what did Jesus tell us to do? "And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils." What are you afraid of? Now, on your own, yes, because he seeks about whom he may devour like a roaring lion. But again, you have Jesus in you. And I'm wanting you to confess these things so that you can get in touch with your real identity. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This is why we confess these things. I want you to see who you are in Christ. E.W. Kenyon said something very similar, and I posted it on Facebook. But Christians need to learn who they are in Christ. And they need to confess who they are in Christ. So yes, you have power over all the enemy. It's not complicated. And in my Christian walk, when it comes to the subject of deliverance, I never saw it complicated. I saw people invoke the name of Jesus, "You foul devil, leave," and they left. Simple. We need to stand on our head, take a bunch of vitamins, or do whatever we do. His name is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth. And Satan has to bow to that name. And every foul spirit has to bow to that name. So don't be afraid. The only time you should be afraid is if you don't know Jesus. Don't go out trying to deal with devils if you're not born again. If you're not born again. And don't be afraid of what God has protecting power on you as a Christian. With that, say this: "I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Say that with me. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Psalm 107:2. "Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Now, some of you were very shy when I asked you, just give your testimony. How were you born again? And you say, well, they've heard it before. Well, there's people here that may not have heard it. So there's a little chorus. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to do it now. I want everybody to stand. And I'm not going to make you test. I don't believe in forcing people. But sing this chorus with me. I love it. It's so simple. You should know it. And it's the scripture. And it goes this way: "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord." Do it again. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed." Praise the Lord. One more time. Let the loud the Lord say so. There you go. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Praise the Lord." Amen. Give him a hand clap for saving your soul. Okay, you can be seated. I love this tambourine. I know I might annoy some people with it, but you know, way back in time when I had a church full of teenagers in a little house up in Thorntown, this was the tambourine we used. And somebody was assigned, Sarah uses tambourine, but somebody was assigned to do it. And sometimes I would just take it because I love it. I don't know. I'm not really musically inclined. But we should say we're redeemed. There's nothing better in witnessing than telling somebody what God did for you. It could be a small thing. It can be a big thing. You know, it could be anything that he's done for you. And it's powerful. People pay attention to real life situations. And they want something real. They don't want just a bunch of words. Well, how can that apply to my life? And sermons, just to give you knowledge, are okay, but it doesn't do you much good if you walk out of here and you cannot apply them to your life. We have a living Savior that gets involved in everything in our life if we will let Him, all day long, day and night. Even when we're sleeping, we can commit that to Him. And it says He gives His beloved sleep. So if you're having trouble sleeping, you need to start confessing that Scripture and asking for that rest and sleep that He wants to give you. It's not His will for you to be tossing and turning every night and miserable all the next day. That's for somebody here. All right. The next thing, we're not only redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Say this with me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Say it. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. What does that mean? It means the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were born into sin. We were born into that law of sin and death. And Jesus, when He conquered the enemy on the cross, 3 days rose again, conquered that, and redeemed us from that curse. All the way to even getting, and sometimes I used to ponder this, if we're redeemed from the law of sin and death, why do we still die in our bodies? I remember a woman up in Thorntown one time, and she got a hold of this scripture, and she thought that she says, I'm not going to die. I'm just going to get younger and younger. Now, she already had gray hair, right? It never changed. You probably know who she was. Precious saint of God. But the Bible also says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. And to the Christian, it's not death, it's our shell, our body passing away. We can get a new one. He doesn't want us living through eternity in this body. I've said it over and over again. Thank you, Jesus. I want to live forever in this body. I'm not complaining about it, but, you know, we can testify, you know, we get older, but we're going to be liberated from this. It's going to come into manifestation at His appearing. But we're already redeemed from this. So look ahead. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So Jesus did that for you and I to redeem us 100%. So you're not under that curse. And sometimes, I want to put some people's mind at ease, because there are people out there that give out real curses. They're into occult practices, or they don't even realize it, but they're speaking against you and they're cursing you out of their mouth. Now, I don't want you to get too worried about that, because He's redeemed us from every curse. There's another place in Scripture that says that you cannot curse what God has not cursed. In fact, if you find out somebody's cursed you, yeah, you can pray for protection from them curses. But you need to pray for them, because you know what's going to happen? If God is not, can't, don't curse what somebody's tried to curse, it's going to go back on them. You need to pray for mercy on them, that they don't suffer from that themselves. Because we are redeemed from the curse. So we don't want to get too superstitious and walk in paranoia all the time. Who has placed a curse on me? No, you're in Christ you are free. You are shielded from that. Say this, I am kept in safety wherever I go. Say it. I am kept in safety wherever I go. I have never believed in my life that God causes accidents. God is not, He's perfect. An accident is something you didn't intend, because you're frail and human, you know, you have a misjudgment. I remember the day, wow, should I tell this? I mean, I'm down in Evansville, you know, and they had elected me as vice president of the CWA in that local down there, and I didn't really want the job. I didn't even like their politics in that union, but I accepted it because I knew I could be an advocate for people who got themselves in trouble. And for on and on, I would get people out of trouble when they did not deserve it. They'd do something real stupid on the job, and I'd have to get them out of trouble. And even their coworkers would say, don't fight so hard for them, Kevin. They're making my job bad, you know. And I said, well, they're paying dues, you know. But I felt like I could be an advocate, and I got a lot of people out of trouble. And one day, I'm out there in the garage loading up my truck, because I drove a truck at the end. I know some of you cannot imagine me driving a semi, right? Well, it can happen. But there I am in this big old forklift. It was like an army tank. That thing could go through a wall. And a coworker had raised these great big double doors, and I could not see above of me. And I thought they were all the way up. He raised them up about this high for me. And here I am charging with a great big old thing of telephone cable weighing a ton. And I'm going to go load it on the truck. And crap, you did not know what it sounds like to go through a big double door with a forklift. And I did. I went right through it. I crashed through that door. Man, did I crash through it. And I'd always prided myself in having a perfect record, right? And I even said to myself, you got a perfect record. You never had an accident. Well, not anymore. And I went through that thing. Wow. It was bad. And I had a maintenance guy that was a fellow Christian. And he went in there and labored all night long to get that door fixed for me. All night long. And by the time it was done, you could hardly tell I did it. And my boss wouldn't charge me. That's the grace of God. But if you read Psalm 91, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest thou dash a foot against a stone. He has protection for you if you will avail it. And if you see an accident, a tragic accident, don't blame God for it. There's also an enemy out there at work, because his job is to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. And you need to pray God into that situation to fix those things, just like that door was fixed for me. And you can say, Kevin, how do you fix it when somebody gets drunk and they wrap their car around a tree, or they hit an innocent person? God knows how to fix everything. And he's also the author of eternal life. He's also the author of resurrection. So you still got to put those situations in his hands, because Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Wow. One night, driving back home, I used to come up and see my mom and dad once a month when I lived in Evansville, and I got down close to Mary's home turf down there in Vincennes, and I got south of Terre Haute, and it was night because I'd stayed all day, and I started doing this at the wheel. I mean, it was so warm and cozy in my little truck, and the radio was going, and I was so comfortable, and I'm driving, and I'm sleepy. And it just got more and more comfortable, and I noticed the radio just kind of faded out. And I'm going down Highway 41. And it was really comfortable, because now I didn't hear anything. I fell asleep at the wheel. And I am telling you, people, I heard as loud as I can yell it in this sanctuary. This is what I heard. Whether it be the angel or the voice of God, this is what I heard. Kevin! Just like that. I woke up. Got my car, I was headed right off. There's a bridge abutment. Man, it would have been ugly. But he screamed my name and woke me up. That was an alarm clock I'll never forget. And I woke up and got back on the road, and all the way, it was between Terre Haute and Vincennes, and all the way to Vincennes and past Vincennes on down towards Princeton. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I just praised him all the way, because it could have been a terrible accident. But he has a way to protect us. And you should be praying for that protection, that divine protection that he has availed for you. And there's so many people here that could testify to that. When we take communion, like I said last week, when we partake of the bread, it represents the strife. He says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. And my Bible says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a past tense. He provided that healing ages ago. So say with me, I am healed by his stripes.
I am healed by his stripes.
I am healed by his stripes. And there's nothing wrong at any time during a service whether it's the end or we're worshiping, to come up here and say, Kevin, I want to avail that healing. I want to pray for that healing to manifest in my body. And as it says in James, is any sick among you? Let him come before the elders of the church. Let the elders pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. So he gives an extra bonus in that. Then it goes on to say, confess your faults one to another. And I remember Vicki one time, I quoted that, and she said, you quote the next verse. I've never forgot that, Vicki. It says, confess your faults one for another and pray for one another that you may be healed. He provided that when he was beaten, those stripes, and it's there. So you can say with confidence and truth, I am healed by his stripes, because that's what he did. And faith ignites him, and he moves and manifests that healing. Now, this you may not understand this, but I'm going to explain it. Say this after me. I am above only, and not beneath. Let's do that one more time, because you might think, what is he talking about? I am above only, and not beneath. In Deuteronomy, and this is under the old covenant, not the new, which is even much better, because everything promised in the old, we have in the new in Jesus. Jesus fulfilled all the old covenant promises. So when you trust Jesus, you are accessing all those old covenant promises. Listen to this. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them. Now, God already knew you could not keep all those commandments. And it wasn't cruel that he gave them to you, because the law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, because Jesus Christ did fulfill them all. So all these promises here, you have by trusting Jesus and his work. You don't have to go out there and try real hard to be good and to do this and do that. Because guess what? You're going to fail. There are many shipwrecked Christians today that said, I just can't live it. I keep messing up. Well, guess what? When he comes back, that sin nature is going to be eradicated. But it's going to be there. That's why Paul said, I die daily. So join the crowd. We all deal with that. But don't give up. Understand, when you trust Jesus, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all that for you. And when you trust him, that is laid to your account. That becomes a part of you. And that's why it's so simple. But he says he'll make you the head and not the tail. Regardless of how you feel trampled on throughout the day or what people do, if you trust Jesus, he has a way of turning the tables. He has a way of turning the tables. You think of Joseph, who was sold into slavery. He was put in a pit way back in the Old Testament. And his brethren were so jealous of him, because his dad did give him special things. He was the young kid that was kind of spoiled a little bit. But anyway, they got jealous and put him in a pit. Then he got sold into slavery into Egypt. And then he was a good-looking guy, and Pharaoh's wife came on to him, and he resisted that because he knew that was wrong, so she ripped her clothes and acted like she was violated, and then he got put in prison. What a thing to happen to a guy. But all through that, he trusted God every step of the way, and then God began to give him the ability to interpret dreams and things. And to make a long story short, Pharaoh took notice of that, got him back out of prison, and he saved their country from famine because of a prophetic dream. And here come all his brethren from out of Egypt, because they were in famine too. They didn't know who he was, and now he is now the head, not the tail. It was up to him to give them mercy and to give them life, and he did. All his brethren that threw him. So God has a way. If you feel like you're on the bottom, you need to trust Jesus and let him work that out. Don't try to take revenge on people. Forgive them, pray for them, and let God, in due time, he'll make you the head and not the tail. But let him do it. Don't do it yourself, because you'll be in the flesh. I guarantee you. But that's a promise. That I and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and shall not be beneath. Deuteronomy 28:13. He also says in Deuteronomy 28 this, and I want you to confess it. I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. Because he says in Deuteronomy 28:6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You have to realize that if you're living below this, You need to really get on your knees and go deeper with Jesus. Let him remove. I mean, I thank God for people like Marvin. You know, Marvin is my senior pastor. And even a few weeks ago when I had this big toe prayed for, and yes, I prayed for my big toe on here. That stuff don't bother me at all. And Marvin sensed that I was struggling to forgive somebody. He was stressed. He sensed that I had some bitterness, and man, was he right on the money. And I've been walking. Every time I feel that come up, Marvin, I do it again. I did it again this morning. But I appreciate that because I don't want to block the blessings of God. And I appreciate that so much. And that's why we have one another. It's important to come to church because sometimes you can get in a mental fog and you can get a little stubborn. Your brother or sister in Christ can get a word from God and come over, let me pray for such and such. And you think, busted, busted. You know, Kelly Fehrenbacher does that to me sometimes. I remember one day driving in my truck, and I just wanted to, there's a little place where a saint of God went and laid under a juniper tree because he was feeling sorry for himself and mumbling and grumbling. I think it was Jonah that did that. Didn't want to go talk to Nineveh and all that. Well, I was having my own little juniper tree. I was out there driving around, and this phone call from Kelly. Kevin, what are you doing? Why are you just driving around? You're under the juniper tree. You need to get out from under there. And I said, guilty, busted. So we prayed together and I was fine. But that's why we have one another. And I'm not afraid to admit it. We all have our times. If I got up here and said, I just walk on water every day and everything, boy, would I have to repent. But he gives us all the ability to. Say this, I am heir to the blessings of Abraham. I am heir to the blessings of Abraham. If you read through what those blessings were given to Abraham, it'll blow you away. He was promised a lot of things. Is that a New Testament concept? In Galatians 3, we read this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So in other words, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive that blessing because he fulfilled it, and it's in him. And Paul proclaimed it right there to the Galatians. That's how you can say, I'm heir to the blessings of Abraham. Repeat after me again, and I want you to keep active with this. Keep letting this come out of your mouth. I am getting all my needs met by Jesus. How many of you have needs that you know of? Be honest. All right, that means we say it again. I am getting all my needs met by Jesus because the Word says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It is available for you. All He requires of you is faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Repeat after me. I know you might be getting tired of it, but and you need to. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings.
I am blessed with all spiritual blessings.
How many of you know what that means? I don't know if I can describe it, but there's an unseen world in the spirit that is eternal. And when you go there, and there are some people that have been caught away in the spirit, we can read about it in the Bible and even here, where you start seeing when the veil's taken away the things that are unseen. How many of you know everything spiritual? It's like when God said, let there be light, or let there be, it becomes manifest later in the natural. So when you start seeing in the spirit what's ahead and what's going, you can get excited because there's a manifestation of that coming in the natural for you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. So it is there. And there's a world you don't see that goes beyond this world in the flesh where you wake up. And sometimes you can get a glimpse of it in your dreams. Because yes, God speaks to you in dreams. I'll do a sermon on that someday. You can see through the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. Because when you're asleep and you're unconscious, you are in a spiritual realm. And sometimes you're plugged into a spiritual realm. And if you're in Christ, He can guide that. If you're not, the enemy can torment you there in dreams. But if you have an unusual dream you're not sure about, get on your knees and pray about it and say, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? I want you to confess this. I am an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. Whatever Jesus inherited by his obedience to the cross, he gives to his bride. Remember, when you are married, you are one flesh. When you become saved, you are the bride of Christ. So everything he receives, you receive. Think about that. And it says in Romans 8, I'm not just telling you to say this and being unscripture. I'm giving you a scripture for everything that we're saying. If I can't come up with a scripture, I shouldn't give it to you, right? But it says, Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It also says we're going to be fashioned in our body, our new body, like Christ. Jesus could appear before people. He could go through walls. He could eat. Read about what Jesus did after the resurrection. And then you go beyond that, for he went to be at the right hand of the Father, and it even gets more wild. But you're an heir of that. I've got just a couple more. And this is a struggle, because we see our sin. We see the flesh side of us all the time. We have to live with it. Someday, that's going to be gone too. Isn't that wonderful? Say this, I am a partaker of his divine nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises. And by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you have the ability to live a holy life. He can impart. It depends on whether you want to walk in the spirit or the flesh. Right? You have the ability to walk in the spirit and walk above all that junk. Even now. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You're a new creature on the spiritual side of you. And the more you walk on that spiritual side, the more you look, walk, and talk like Jesus. The less you do, the less you portray him. And the choice is yours. Last one. And I hope you did that this morning during praise and worship. I've seen some of you do it here during this message. I am blessing the Lord at all times. Say it. And continually praising the Lord with my mouth. Every one of these promises he has rejoiced and glorified, and he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you say, and you're in agreement with God's word, and you're our Heavenly Father's child, he rejoices when you partake of what he has to give you. There's nothing more heartbreaking for a parent to work hard and get a child a present and he doesn't even want it. It breaks God's heart when he sends his only son to split wide open heaven for you and to give you everything, including eternal life, an abundant life, and a future beyond your imagination, and people reject it, and they do it every day. What a tragedy to God. If you're here today and you have rejected Jesus and you just don't want to give your life to him, please don't put it off anymore. If you're here today and you're not so good of a Christian and you know you're failing, be encouraged. His mercies are new every morning. You can grab a hold of these promises today. Get on with your walk and put the past behind. You can confess the junk and move forward. Isn't it good that you can do that? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from half of our unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Every bit of it. And all he wants us to do is confess it to him. The Bible says in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now I'm done with this. And I want you to realize who you are in Christ today. And I have a song that's an uplift. I did it a few Wednesdays ago. I love this song. But I want you to grab a hold of its promises. Most of you may know it. Some of you may not. If you don't listen to K-Love, you may not, but look at the message and sing this song in faith. Stand up, and I want let's play the song Greater, and let's sing it with all our might if you know it. Amen.